Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Blessed Lord, we thank you for the breaking of the day. We are very grateful to you how you took us to bed last night and you gave us some sleep. We know it's not everybody that goes to bed in the night that can sleep. So we have to take medication before they can sleep. Sometimes their bodies will be used to that medication. It will no longer work for them. But you are the one that gives sleep to your beloved. We are very grateful, Father. Once again, we have gathered this morning. And we are told that the gathering of God's people is unto God. Lord Jesus, because we are your children, we are the very reason why you went to the cross. We are asking, oh God, that you will just extray our lives and meet us at the point of our needs. Your prophet said, no man come into the presence of God and go back the same. He said, he either go better or worse. But because we are your children, we know that each time we come, you will always do something in our lives that will make us to go better for you. That is our desire. That is our prayer. That is our request this morning. While you are blessing others, please, Master, do not pass any of us by. Amen. Thank you, our Father.
Thank you.
Blessed be thy holy name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' most powerful name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Can you please be seated a little while? God bless you. Good morning, everybody. To the servants of the Lord, I remain loyal.
Yeah,
God bless you. Our normal routine is that we will give them mic, they will introduce themselves, where they come from, who they are. After that, they will face the business proper.
I've
always had a pain in my heart. Each time we have meetings like this, the pain is that we don't have enough days. Supposing we have enough days, we would have just allowed everyone here to give to you what God has given to them. But the time is always not there. We don't have enough time for it. I want to appreciate every one of them for their understanding. Yes, it's a teamwork. Brother Abraham says it's like a football team. Yes, if your man is with the ball, you have to protect him from the attack of the enemy. If that man scores, the victory goes to the team. It is the same thing. Whosoever have the opportunity to minister, by the grace of God, because of grace and maturity, we all back him up. The blessings that come, we share, and everybody shares. And the kingdom of God is promoted. So we are so grateful to God. God bless you, servants of God, once again. We start from here.
Praise the Lord. I'm Relisha, the pastor of Golden Bride Tabernacle, Edo Osun State. God bless you.
God bless you.
Brother Stanley Madujemo, Mowe Ogun State.
I'm Samuel Olaluwa Fagbesan from Ibadan.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Odofin Olawale from Oshogo.
I am Pastor Simon Peter Olalejo Ileife.
God bless you, church. Oh, yes, sir. August Convention, Ibadan. It is Messagica. All right.
Hallelujah.
My name is Brother Lekan Olufarati, God's Eagle Tabernacle, Mowe. Oh, yeah.
Gideon Olufarati is my name, Mowe, Ogun State.
God bless you. My name is Adekola Kupola, Pastor, Spoken Word Tabernacle, Wayan Kebu. God bless you. Ibadan.
God bless you. I'm Simeon Olusesan Fagbesan. I'm from the World Pride Tabernacle, Elisha.
Praise the Lord. Lucas Adioba, Elisha.
God bless you all. My name is Joseph Jegede from the World Redeemed Bride Tabernacle, Ibadan.
My name is Sunday Oyedokun from Ijebode. God bless you. Joshua Feyisoyo, Ijebode. Boss Watanoja, Kindred City Tabernacle, Jos.
Ayodele Babalola, Ibadan.
Brother Daniel Amano, Accra, Ghana.
Your brother in Christ, Brother Ezekiel Omeizu MacPeter from Bible Tabernacle, Ileife.
God bless his church. Elijah Ajibade from Ibadan.
God bless you, church.
Matthew Esheshari is my name from Benin City.
Oluwafemi Adediji is my name from Ibadan.
God bless you. Abolade Noah is my name from Ibadan.
Israel James from Kaduna Church.
Shalom to the bride. Adinze Peter Sunday from Lokoja, the Confluence City, where the two great rivers meet and flow as one. Shalom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm Brema J. Brooker, Eden Life Church of Jesus Christ, Calabar.
Dele Adelodun, Bible Way Fellowship Tabernacle, Oworonsoke, Lagos.
Ayodele Christopher Nehi, the Word Redeemed Bride Tabernacle, Ibadan.
Oluṣuadeyeye, Lagos.
Isaiah Aniri, Bible Way Fellowship Tabernacle, Oworonsoke, Lagos.
George Imo from Obiaja, Edo State.
I am Joseph Abaola, Lagos.
Abiodun Afolayan, Bible Way Fellowship Tabernacle, Oworonsoke, Lagos.
Precious Ovis Onicha.
Bro Elijah Olaoluwa from Kasun Tabernacle, Ilaro.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Evangelist Lekan Akinwole, Spoken Word Tabernacle, Sango Altar. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, brethren. That's Brother Moses Taiwo Adenle from Capsule Tabernacle, Ilaro.
Praise be to God.
Well,
my name is Brother Martins Ainirua Ibadan.
Oruko tiwon ni Arakunrin Martins Ainirua lati Ibadan.
So without taking our time again,
Lakoko,
we are finished with that. Like I said, we face the business proper.
Ati pari iyen mo ni a o bere ise ni kete
bayi. We have the privilege this morning.
Ani anfani laaro yi
to bring our precious brother Stanley Imadujemi.
Lati mo arakunrin Stanley Imadujemi wa.
Praise the Lord.
Eyin Oluwa o.
Praise the Lord.
Eyin ni fun Olorun.
I think you can do better than that.
Mo ro pa le se daada ju beyen lo.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome again this year to this August convention. And we want to appreciate the Lord for this wonderful privilege again to be alive and to be able to make this convention. I want to appreciate the host church. I want to appreciate the host pastor. And I also want to appreciate all the ministers of God. And I also want to appreciate every one of us. You know, the minister wants to preach to people and not to empty benches. And it takes a lot of sacrifice to put these kind of meetings together. And I want to say, may God continue to bless the host church. And everyone that contributes to the success of this kind of meetings. The prophet said, it takes money to put this kind of meetings together. And I pray that the pots from which these monies have been brought out will never run dry in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless all the servants of the Lord. You know, when they were introducing themselves, I felt very little. That I'm not even worthy to stand here. But it forced my Lord this morning. And I'm going to trust the Lord to help me. To be a blessing to the bride. And I believe you have prayed. Because the prophet says it is the sacrifices of what you put in the meetings that determines the blessings you get. So I want you to look beyond the man standing here to see the God who you have come to meet. This is not a picnic ground. This is not a vacation resort. And I hate to see a convention where people are just coming, having activities, carrying on, and go back home the same. We want to meet God. We want to experience God. We want to see the power of God. We want to see the glory of God declared in the midst of His people. We want to see sons and daughters of God going back home changed and renewed from the way they were when they came here. And there is no man, there is no woman from the pulpit to the laity that will say that they don't have a need. So have faith in God. Put your trust in the Lord. And the Lord will make your request come to pass. Now, I want to read a quote before I start my sermon. And I'm taking that from the message, Being Led of the Spirit. Reverend said, I was in California speaking to the Christian businessmen. Now, that's in line with what the host pastor was just saying before he handed over. I was talking on the subject. I was talking on the subject of Paul. Said that one thing that he feared is that the people would overthink of him and not of the Lord Jesus. Putting their focus on a man rather than on the Lord. So he didn't come to them in excellency of words. But he came to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. They will not worship him or believe too much above him, upon him. But they will believe in the Lord Jesus. That their faith might not be in Paul, but might be in Jesus. And today, that is the thing today when we see people. And people are so subject in this day to jumping at little flowery things. Till it make you kind of wonder sometimes. Now this is the message the prophet is trying to pass across. Don't never think one man above another. No sir. No matter who he is. If it's just a little old fellow out here giving tracts out on the street, and if it's a Billy Graham, no matter who he is, if he's God's servant, respect them all the same. Everyone, don't have one above another. Favorites. We don't have that. So there's no favorite minister here. So if you feel that you will only be blessed when brother so so and so is preaching, you have missed it. If you feel disappointed and say, oh, why did the host pastor not put so so and so person to preach to you, you've missed it. Because your attitude will determine the blessings you get. So we must not have camp stars.
Camp stars.
When your star minister enter, that is when your revival comes. You are Kana. And sometimes the ministers also get carried away by that euphoria. And when we do that, we fail to project Christ to the people, rather we are projecting ourselves. And that is the warning the prophet is giving here. The prophet said, don't do that. Don't respect one person above the other. Let everybody be on the level. And brother and sister, in Jesus' precious name, please think of your humble brother as the lowest of those brothers. Uh-huh. Brother was referring to himself. I don't say that to be humble. I say that from my heart. Because I mean it. It is Jesus Christ that I'm trying to represent to you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So as we have come to the camp or the convention, we are coming to meet Jesus. And make sure you meet Jesus before you leave here. It doesn't make sense for you to spend a lot of your resources to come here for fun. If you wanted to have fun, there are places for you to go.
But
when we come here, it's serious business. And may the Lord help you. And may the Lord help me. Praise be to God. So we are going to stand to our feet this morning. And we're going to open our Bibles. We're going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to start from verse 12 and we'll read to verse 13. And after that, we'll go to the book of 1 John chapter 3. Just pray for me. That the Lord will bless us again today. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. We read verse 12 and verse 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of men shall wax cold.
Nitori ese yo di pupo ife opolopo yo di tutu.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Sugba ni to ba fori titi de opin o na le agbala.
Then we go to the book of 1 John chapter 3.
Yohanu kini ori keta.
John chapter 3, I want to start reading from verse
19.
And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. May the Lord add blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Our kind and blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful again this morning, this week, this month, this year, for another privilege to be assembled in this part of the world for this program of convention. We thank you, Lord, because we know it is you and you alone that can make this possible. No doubt a lot of prayers have gone into this, a lot of trusting, a lot of hoping, a lot of sacrifices. And today, Lord, we are here, O God, in the manifestation of this program. Heavenly Father, I believe this is not put together just for fun, or just to be, O God, like a routine, or keeping a yearly ritual. But Lord, this is, O God, to see the manifestation, the realities of God in the midst of your people.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless the efforts of your people.
Amen.
And those, O God, who have left their homes, their jobs, their places of comfort to come here, they have not come to see man. Lord, they have come to see you.
Amen.
And your prophet said, when you come in the midst of your people, you don't come to be a spectator. But Lord, you come to bring ability. You come to confirm your promises.
Amen.
And where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you be in their midst. Lord, we are here again.
Amen.
Lord, bow in our heads before thee. We pray that you have mercy on us.
Amen.
Look upon us through the blood. Wash us again by the washing of the waters by the word.
Amen.
Come down, O God, and grant your blessings.
Amen.
From the pulpit to the laity,
amen,
whether spiritual blessings, physical blessings, material blessings, whatever it may be, you are more than a match for every need.
Yes, Lord.
Do it, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
As we, O God, have read the word and opened the pages of the scriptures, Lord, may you come and pack man out of the way.
Amen.
Ripple through this lump of clay, Lord. Bless your church, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Both the physical audience and those that are listening, O God, virtually, may your grace reach out to them. The end of today's service and this program of this convention, may we all have cause to look back and testify. Like Brother Cleopas and his friends, saying, O God, did not our heart burn within us while he spake with us along the way and revealed to us the scriptures. Touch somebody, Father.
Amen.
Give somebody a testimony.
Amen.
Heal somebody, Lord.
Amen.
Do something wonderful.
Amen.
For wherever the omnipotent is, the miraculous will take place. We are expecting your move, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may please have your seats while I remain standing. So this morning, by the grace of God, I will be speaking on the subject I titled, If Our Hearts Condemn Us. And I'm taking it from the 20th verse of the book of 1 John chapter 3. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Meaning that God knows your thoughts. He knows what is bothering you. He knows what is in your heart. And if your heart condemns you, amen, God is greater than your heart. Meaning that God has condemned you already. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And for us to be able to receive anything from the Lord, we must have confidence toward God. And as we have come here for convention, having various needs in our life, having various challenges that is beyond the help of human beings, that we want the attention of God for, we must approach him with confidence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Matthew told us in the book of Matthew 24, verse 12, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, what is iniquity? Iniquity, from the understanding that the prophet gave us, is for a man to know the right thing to do and neglect to do it. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That is iniquity. And because that iniquity shall abound, meaning that men will begin to indulge in things that they know by their living conscience is wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they will do it by any excuse. They always have excuses why they do what they do. They always have excuses why you carry out the ass you carry out. And many times we try to justify our actions based on certain factors. Yeah, the prophet told her in the message, your life worthy of the gospel, that a life that is full of excuses is not worthy of the gospel. Therefore, we want to look at the thought of conscience. If our heart condemns us, what condemns you in your heart? God is greater than our heart. Amen.
Amen.
Meaning that there is something that God placed there
to
bear record of the truth. Whether you have been to church or not, whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, there is something that God put in every man. And that thing, the prophet said, we always bear witness to the truth. So that when you want to do wrong, even without hearing the word of God, that thing that is in you that is called conscience is going to bear record. And when you go ahead to do that thing, then that conscience condemns you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It bears witness within you that what you have done is wrong. And I'm
going
to support my talk this morning by the message and the scriptures. Now, before we move on, we must understand one thing. That the Bible teaches us that a Christian must have a good conscience void of offense.
Amen. What does that mean?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want the computer guy to be very fast this morning. You're going to give me a lot of scriptures.
Now,
before I go to the Bible, I want to read from the message Spiritual Amnesia. Paragraph 43.
Brother
Branham said, then we are identified again. We can identify ourselves in the human race. When I look at Brother Elisha, I know he's a human being. When I look at a dog, I know that's a dog. When I look at a lion, I know this is a lion. Because every creature is identified by their characteristics. So we as human beings, we have a certain characteristic that identify us as human beings. But the
Bible
says, what is one of those characteristics? By having intelligence. Different from the animal life. The animal cannot think. He just goes by sound. He has no soul. Do you hear that? I believe the prophet before I believe biology. Oh yes, don't tell me what I know. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The animal has no soul. But we are animal life. We are flesh and blood. But what makes us different? We are mammals. Mammal is a one-blooded animal. And we are in the feature of animal. But what makes us different? We are identified by a soul. A conscience. That tells us what is right and wrong. So we've defined that now. Is that right? Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's move on a bit. Hebrews chapter 10. We read from verse 1. I think Pastor read that yesterday. The book of Hebrews. Chapter number
10.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. For then would they they not have ceased to be offered.
Bí ó bá jẹ́ bẹ́ẹ̀ ni a kì bá ti ṣíwọ́ láti máa ṣe àwọn
ìrúbọ náà. Before that the worshippers once purged.
Yóò ní pé olùjọ́sìn àti fọ̀mọ́ lẹ́ẹ̀kan náà.
Should have had no more conscience of sin.
Kò yẹ kó tún ní ẹ̀rí ọkàn mọ́ fún ẹ̀ṣẹ̀.
There is something about your conscience that God is targeting.
Nǹkan kan wà nípa ẹ̀rí ọkàn rẹ tí Ọlọ́run
wò. I want you to listen and listen very attentively.
Mo fẹ́ kẹ́ ẹ fetí sílẹ̀ dáradára.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you go to chapter 9,
Deba lo si ori kesan,
from verse 13,
lati ese ketala,
he told us,
o so fun wa,
for if the blood of bulls and of goats,
oni ti eje malu ati ti ewura,
and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh,
oni ti awon eje wonyi to ba le fo awon ta nfi won ta ba to ba le fo won monu iran ara,
the blood of bulls and goats could sanctify the flesh,
iyen ni pe eje malu ati ti ewura o le we
ara yi mo, how much more shall the blood of Christ,
melo melo eje Christi.
Now the Bible is trying to let you know the efficacy of the blood of Jesus that we are talking about. So that when you claim that that blood has taken effect upon your life, there are results it should bring. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't want to be repeating convention over convention. You must have a time where you are able to settle it with God. Some of us have been in the message 20 years. Some have been in the message 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. And yet you have not received the power of the efficacy of the blood. The question is, what have you been doing? What are you doing in the message? The message is not a movement. The message is not a political party. The message is an experience. The message is a living reality. The message, hallelujah,
amen,
is the spiritual reality of God in this age. And the message is a person. You become the message. Walking on two feet. That is what the prophet said. I never came to start another denomination. We don't believe in denominations. We don't believe in church membership. We believe in being a Christian. And for you to be a Christian, the power of the blood must take effect upon your life. And
there
has got to be a transformation.
There
has got to be an evidence.
There
has got to be a proof. In the message, witnesses, the prophet said, what the people claim they have, they don't have.
And
that's why we see a lot of loose scattered testimonies. Among
dada,
the ministers and among the congregation. And many
times
you find out that because they don't have a conscience. They don't have a conscience. I'm coming.
Ambowa.
Listen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Did you hear that? That blood has got to work on something. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Meaning that you cannot separate a Christian from his conscience. You cannot separate a Christian from his conscience. Therefore, a Christian must have a good conscience. Void of offense. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll read from verse chapter 1,
lati ori kini,
verse 19.
Ese kokandinlogun.
1 Timothy chapter 1, 19.
Timothy kini ori kini ese kokandinlogun.
The Bible says, holding faith.
Bezo pe,
holding faith.
Didi igbagbo mu.
That means this faith that we say we believe.
Iyen ni pe igbagbo ta so pa
igbagbo yi. We hold it unwaveringly.
Agbodo dimo agbodo je ko
jabo. We say we believe the message.
A so pa igba se
ranse. We hold it unwaveringly.
Agbodo dimo ko bodo jabo.
Everybody moving around in the camp, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. What do we mean by that? Is it just a greeting? Is it just a ritual? Is it just something that a habit that we have cultivated to do in the message? Holding the faith. And a what? And a what? And a what? Alright. You are going to see that even you hold the faith without a good conscience, something is wrong. I'm just trying to establish it. before we move into the message. Holding the faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So without a good conscience, you are holding faith, you are going to have a shipwreck.
Okay, to ba ni ere okan to ni igbagbo
wa okan re ori. That's Paul talking.
Paul lo nsoro yen o.
You must hold faith and a good conscience.
O gbodo di igbagbo mo
ati ere. When you put away good conscience,
to ba kuro nu ere okan re.
Amen. You have a shipwreck.
Okan re yori.
You will do things.
Wa ma ti awon kankan.
What Abraham said.
Abraham so pe.
And your conscience will be seared.
Ere okan re a o fi ni
pipo na jo. You will do things contrary to the commandments of God, and it will not shake you.
Aha, o ma se kan to lodi si ofin Olorun ko ni
ni rara. And that is why we see what we are seeing today.
O ta n ri le ni niyan o.
It's as if the message have lost its value.
Eh to ye pe
isa the message has lost its potency.
O ti so agbara re.
It's as if the message that we believe from the beginning. It's as if the message have lost the value of holiness. It's as if the message have lost the value of righteousness. Men and women begin to indulge in things that they used to call
sinful before.
Wow. They are holding faith.
But
they have put away good conscience. I'm speaking on if our heart condemns us.
All
right. I'm still in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm at verse 5 now.
He said,
now the end of the commandment is charity. I want you to follow the Bible as I'm reading it. Because some people claim that we only quote. We not have you preach Bible. Now the end of the commandment is this.
It's
charity. Out of a pure heart. And the prophet said, the highlight of my ministry is the talking, which is the Holy Ghost, which is God's law. And that must be out of a pure heart. A believer's heart must be pure from malice, pure from envy, pure from doubt, pure from fear, pure from covetousness, pure from lust, pure from passion, pure from the things of the world, pure from worldly desire, pure from carnality. Hallelujah. Pure from lust for money, lust for wealth, material acclimatization. Material. Until we are beginning to judge ourselves now based on physical and material achievements.
Your
brother is coming to convention. You want to see the kind of car he's bringing. What's your business with that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to see the kind of dress he's wearing. You want to see the kind of house he's living in. When did we fall that low? When? When has he come? To a state that you begin to judge a brother or a sister based on material achievement. Or educational achievement. Remember, that was one of the points where Pentecostal failed.
We must not
fall into that unknowingly. And that is why your respect. Your regard for a brother or sister is hinged upon the achievement that they have. You respect richer brothers more than poorer brothers. You respect brothers who have gone overseas more than the one who are local champions. And you feel that you are doing right. The book of James tells me that you are a judge of evil thoughts. You are not walking circumspectly. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet taught us that the amount of God in a man is what you respect. I don't care about your dollar. I don't care about your filthy dollar. I don't care about your filthy naira. All these things will pass away. What are those things? Amen.
Amen.
They are like clothes.
One,
I can't remember 20 years ago. I can't even remember where the suits were, where I was wearing. Maybe they are torn to rags or something. I can't even think about that. That is how it fades away. You buy a car, it fades away. You have money in the bank, it fades away. When there was lockdown, some of us had money, we could not spend it. The things of value are things you can't buy with money, brothers. You need to respect your sister. Respect your brother. Don't be a judge of evil thoughts. Don't despise one another. Some of you despise because you feel that you are from an affluent family. Your father is well to do. If the Lord is not merciful and the bread of life leaves that man, he becomes nonsense on the ground. Vanity of life. Alright. We are still in our scripture. I hope you are enjoying the Lord. It's always a very difficult task to start a convention. To build a platform. The Lord will help us. The end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience. And of faith on faith, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. You are just doing jangoloba. You know what that means? The man is doing activity. He is sweating. He is riding. And yet he is going nowhere. That is jangling, jangoloba. When you put away conscience, away from the equation, your activity you will just be carrying on. Activity will be going on. You will be preaching and sweating. You might even collapse and die. And yet it will be a vain jangling. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. We quickly read. Time is not on our side. Acts 24, I read from verse 16. And hearing, Paul was saying, and hearing do I exercise myself. This is where I exercise myself. Amen.
Amen.
To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Toward God. One. We're going to look at that. And toward man. So it's not just only God. Also men. That is why you must care about what your brother think about you. But I fear my wife. I fear my child. I fear the people of the city. Lest I do anything that will make them think I am not a Christian. A conscience void of offense. And if we are conscious of that, we will correct ourselves even before coming to church. We will preach to ourselves before preaching to the congregation. You will preach to yourself before preaching to the man outside. You don't care what the people say. Say, not my business. If they want to die, make them die. Let them go and jump inside that melon bridge. It's not my business. It is your business. We read it for you here.
Alright.
2 Corinthians. Chapter
1.
2 Corinthians chapter
1.
We go to verse 12.
Amen.
The Bible says, for our rejoicing is this. This is our rejoicing. Don't rejoice because you made $1 million. Don't rejoice because your uncle is made a permanent secretary. Or because your godfather have gotten an Asorok appointment. Don't rejoice.
They're
not politicians. Our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience. What is the testimony of your conscience? This is our rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen.
That in simplicity
and
godly sincerity,
Brother
Brown said, the angel told me, if you can be sincere. The problem we are having is that it's not that we don't know the message. We know the message. We are very vast in the message. The problem is, are we sincere? Are we sincere with the message?
For
the congregation and the minister, are we sincere? Are we sincere with what we believe? It's easy to quote it. But when it comes to applying the quote, when it's affecting you directly, affecting your family, affecting your children, affecting your church, affecting you as a person, where do you stand? Our rejoicing. The testimony of our conscience. With simplicity and godly sincerity. With fleshly wisdom. Not with fleshly wisdom. Let me read it here. Some things are cut off there. Amen?
Amen.
For our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience. That in simplicity and godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom. But by the grace of God. We have had our conversation in the world. And more abundantly toward you all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Are you enjoying the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now go to Romans chapter 9 verse 1. The Bible says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You can't separate a Christian from his conscience.
Oh, le ya Christian kuro lara ere okan re.
You say, brother, give me more scriptures. I'll give you two more scriptures and then I proceed.
2
Timothy 1 verse 3.
Timothy keji, ori kini eseketa.
Say, I thank God.
Oni mo dupe lowo Olorun.
Who myself from my forefathers.
Eni ti mo tin sin lati enu awon baba mi wa.
With pure conscience.
Pelu ori okan to mo.
See? This is Paul.
Paul lo nsoro yi o.
Thank God.
Whom
I serve.
Anything more things sin.
From my forefathers.
With
a pure conscience. You see why the first thing the blood does. Is to purge your conscience. From dead works. Because without that you can't start the race. You are going to have a shipwreck. That's why a lot of people are having spiritual shipwrecks today. Thank God
who
might start from my forefather with your conscience. That without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. In Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 18. We know Hebrews 13:8, right? Let's add 10 verses to it.
Amen.
That's 8. I'm talking 18. Paul said,
Paul,
pray for us. Pray for us. We trust. He said, for we trust. We have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. That is the theme of a minister. Pray for us. We are trusting God that we have a true, pure conscience, willing to live honestly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So you must care about your brother. Brother Brown says it's not easy for a person to go to hell. The message, what shall I do with Jesus Christ? A man fights his way to hell. The first lie you ever told, you knew it was wrong. The first cigarette you ever smoked, you know it was wrong. The first evil you did, you know it was wrong. But in your conscience, your conscience told you it was wrong. But you continually run through the red light. You run over the barricade. You are reckless. You want to do it anyhow. You see iniquity? Is it that you don't know by the message that the things you are doing is wrong? Even if somebody give you permission to do that, you know it is wrong. Your conscience will tell you that this thing, Baba said, if there's a question about anything, stay away from it. Baba said, you want to do it anyhow? You want to show you are some big guy? But remember, you fight your way to hell. It's not easy to go to hell. You have to reject the truth. You have to silence that conscience. You have to shut it up. You have to ignore it. For you to do what you want to do that will take you to hell. A Christian must have conscience void of offense. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was speaking about the issue of offense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And if we look at that scripture, beginning from verse
25,
he said, whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the loss and the fullness thereof. If any man, he said, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is said before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. He said, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not. Amen.
Amen.
For his sake that showed it. And for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. Conscience. I say. Not I hope, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? It's a question now. Why should my liberty be judged by another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do unto the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's emphasize on that. Because if you remember, in the message that they on Calvary, Brother Abraham said, eternal life is a life you live for the sake of someone else. Brother Abraham said, when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life.
But
when you say, I don't care, it's not my business, your eternal life is questionable. Chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. Amen.
Amen.
We can start from verse 1, but let's just jump. He said now from verse 6, say, but to all there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. How be it, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But now, meat commended us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Somebody
remember
Brother Bram, he said, I'm free to do anything, Brother Bram said, of course. He said, Brother Bram, I'm free to live any life. I want to live, Brother Bram said, sure.
Sure.
I'm not bound. Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Being
a Christian does not mean you are bound.
You're Christian, you're so quiet today, huh?
Say, I can smoke, it doesn't condemn me. Amen.
Amen.
He said, he don't condemn you because your conscience is as slim as a snake without a hip.
Okay.
He don't condemn me to smoke. He don't condemn me to pants. He don't condemn me to wear trousers. He don't condemn me to do this. He don't condemn me to do that. The problem is that your conscience have been
seared.
You might think it's a liberty. Because you are a free moral agent, having the liberty as a free moral person in the country to live any life you want to live. But listen, verse 9 says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge,
still
admit in the idol's temple,
shall
not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? When they see you, they begin to feel that it's okay to do that, and they begin to do it. And through that knowledge that the weak brother perished for whom Christ died. The Bible now says, but when you sin so against the brethren, he says, sin against the brethren, for you to be stumbling brethren. We are not reading Quran, we are reading Bible. Paul said, but when you sin so against the brethren, you might say, why is that brother weak? And wound their weak conscience,
ye
sin against Christ. You are offending God. You are offending God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, it's your liberty.
But
you are offending God. With your actions, with the life you are living, with the things you are doing, thinking that you have a quote, thinking that you are justifying yourself, and somebody is being stumbled, that
means
it's no longer righteousness before God.
Oh,
you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend meat, if not to chop turkey, then I go make my brother go hell. Paul said, I will not eat anything. What are you talking about? What is wrong with eating meat? Is there any quote against eating meat?
Well,
yeah, eating meat is causing somebody to stumble. And it becomes a sin to Christ. And how can you enter the kingdom of God when you are a sinner before God? It's because your conscience is not working. You are not conscious of the welfare of your brother, of your sister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Brother Stanley, give me a quote. Brother Brown said, listen to me. He said, now the first thing I want to say is, Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That is perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that is fine. Amen. But when you live your life for yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It's easy to quote it. We are talking the practical now. Brother
Stanley,
this suit you are wearing is making me to stumble. I will pull it down.
That's what Paul is saying. Insignificant as eating meat. You must be very conscious. He proved it when he came in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day on Calvary, and you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. What is the evidence of eternal life? You live for others. And that's the proof. I've given you quote now. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Now, when a man is justified, when a man is baptized, amen. He's justified. And when a man is justified, he has a good conscience. Justification gives him a good conscience. The Bible says that baptism does not take away sin. Is that right?
It's
about the answer of a good conscience toward God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us, he says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Brown said the message pardon, that when a man is pardoned, when a man is justified, amen,
amen.
Paragraph 35,
he
said release from guilt. Release from guilt is what we wish to place on this. A pardon from God is a release from guilt. Not the turning away by a psychological doctrine of some sort. That might in some way give you a little feeling that you have done what is right. Or by joining church or taking up a creed. But it's a release from your guilt by the power of
Calvary.
Something has released you. There is no more guilt. The Bible says, I believe in Romans 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you receive pardon, your heart will no longer condemn you. You have a justification before God. Your conscience will bear record that you are right with God.
Because
remember, the conscience cannot lie. You can lie to the conscience, but the conscience will tell you the truth. In your heart, this thing you are doing. This thing you are doing. Nothing they happen. Something they happen. Something they happen. Something is happening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Something is happening. The prophet said, our confession today in the message influence is just come to like I don't know what. Like a riddle.
Jerry Waleni, O Tabi Allah.
Go down and pray. Pray about 2 minutes long. When we want to make confession. And get back up. Do something wrong. And we say, oh Lord. You know I didn't mean to do that. But hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm alright. And you just go along.
Brother
said, no. That is not it, brother.
We
are going to see it now. Why the prophet says so? Amen.
Amen.
He said, you got to be godly sorry. Because this conscience, you cannot bribe it. And if you can't bribe conscience, you can't bribe God. Because God is greater than your conscience. That's what the first John is telling us. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Don't fool yourself. You cannot receive anything from God. No wonder
wonder Brother Brown was speaking. Brother Brown said, I hate tubeless tire. He said, but they have come to stay. Why? Why we Brother Brown? I can read the quote for you.
Yes.
Why we Brother Brown hate tubeless tire? Because the prophet said, only a believer can make his way right. He said, if anything goes wrong in the life of a Christian, he becomes restless until he makes that thing right. He will not know peace. He will not be able to sleep. He will not be able to sit and write in church. He will be restless. That will condemn him until he's breaking that in all. And if you hide your sin, you are not a Christian. Yes. If you hide your iniquity, you are not a believer. You are a wicked man. You are a worker of iniquity. And the wages of iniquity you will get. I'm not cursing you. I'm preaching you.
Sorry,
brother.
It's all right.
Amen.
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 A tubeless tire is a tire. It will carry a nail from Lagos. It will drive all the way to Ibadan. You will not know. Nothing will condemn
me.
It will still be going. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me. You see, they go with iniquity, with fornication, with adultery, with hypocrisy. It is still preaching. He is still singing special number. He is still doing things that a believer should do. He is paying tithe. But iniquity dead
here.
Nail dead here. And he's still going. He's a tubeless tire. Brother Brown said, I hate tubeless
tire.
You will not know. It might even take 3 days. Sometimes it might take a month. It is maybe when you go to your vulcanizer that they'll tell you, organ nail dead this tire out. You never knew. And nothing condemn him. And he's still going normal. Everything is okay. The car is still riding. He's still firing on the pulpit. He's still working as a deacon. As an officer in the church. He's still doing Holy Mary like a sister. Whereas iniquity is there. But a tube tire.
It's
like a believer. A tube tire is like a believer. His conscience is alive. The moment a little nail touch it, and there you go,
sir.
Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I am dying, oh. I cannot move anymore. This is me, oh. If you don't help me here, I will die. I confess my wrong. I confess my sin. Father, help me. I cannot move anymore. His conscience is alive. He will stop there. No more moving forward. No more preaching. No more carrying on. I need to make my way right. You say, give me a quote. You see what we are lacking in the message? It is not the knowledge of the word, it is sincerity with the word. And that is why Brother Brown said the minister is the hardest to repent. How can we receive the blessings? How can the power of God pour upon the convention? Where there is sin in your life? Where there is iniquity behind your soul? And you want to see the supernatural? You want to see the glory of God? It doesn't work like that. Some of you in your offices, they don't know you as a Christian. They don't know you as a believer. I'm not here to teach ministry. I'm not a teacher. But I'm
going
to preach to you what the Lord laid in my heart. We must uproot every nonsense for the waters of life to flow freely. The Spirit of God must move. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the struggle cannot move over iniquity. Brother Brown said, God cannot bless over unconfessed
sin.
You bless Taya.
Taya, tell the tube.
Repent!
You carry
nail.
You carry shukushuku. You carry everything. Only you gonna go. Pastor, we think you are okay.
Pastor,
everybody is still greet you. God bless you, brother. Shalom, sister. Whereas in your life is full of abominable evil. No wonder the church of God is being hindered. Convention has become like a ritual. You see, come here, they go back sick. The unbelievers come, they go back unbelievers. Is there no balm in Gilead? Are you telling me that the tale of miracle sits with the day of Brother Abraham? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Ministers, what are we talking about here? How can ministers gather like this and the fire of God will not fall down? Something is wrong. I'm not talking about quoting the quote. I'm talking about bringing the power of God down. Enough is enough. Are you listening? Enough is enough. We must see the glory of God. It's not that we may see. It is our inheritance. It is our privilege to see the glory of God. Amen, church. Sometimes we can't even differentiate ourselves anymore from denomination.
A
lot of carryovers. A lot of nonsense. I'm going to read from the message. Total deliverance. Brother Abraham said, beginning from paragraph 59. If a member makes a mistake, don't turn him down. Help him. Raise him up. Get together. Have a hearing with one another. That is what the scripture says. He said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, he said, you who are spiritual, where is the spirituality coming from? He said, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness, knowing that you also are subject to temptation. Nobody is a big brother here. Nobody is a super brother here. Better humble yourself and hide yourself under the blood. When devil mean you, this one, devil is just passing by you, you are shouting. When devil mean you, and he put your name on his calendar, that it is you this year, you will know the difference between 6 and 6 dozen. When Satan mean you, you say you cannot come near me. You are deceiving yourself. The Son of God, who veil Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in one person, Jesus Christ. Satan, come meet him.
Jesus Christ, Satan,
you say you be Son of God. You be Son of God, Abi. Turn this stone to bread.
Oh, yeah, so, akara.
Is that in your Bible?
Brother
Abraham said,
Aramazokwe.
He said, I have to hide myself under the blood. He
said,
except for the grace of God, Satan will slay me.
Only to give you your fellow and Satan back for me.
Don't underrate your enemy. A brother make a mistake. Remember, I said a mistake. I'm not talking to tubeless tire. I'm talking to tire with tubes. Men and women that have a living conscience. Like Sister Sandalili. When she went across that old house where she used to dance black bottom dance. And she was overtaken. What was the first thing she did? Answer. The first thing was to run to the house of the pastor. And say, Brother Abraham, I am finished. Brother Abraham said, what happened? She confessed her sin. Quickly. No wasting of time. Some
come, they will pile it. The thing will be piling. Sometimes it is when they are in their deathbed. They're about to give up. They'll start shouting, call pastor. Call pastor. You have to get to that level. She ran. And because she did that at the nick of time, deliverance came away. You know what the message says about it? The demons that came out of her. Brother Abraham didn't condemn her. Brother Abraham only told her, sister, this is where you made your mistake. So that next time you will not make the same mistake. I tell people, if a man walk through this place, he fall down. He come again. Second time he fall down. He come again. Third time he fall down. That man is a fool. That man is a fool. First experience should have taught you a lesson. Never to go that way again. And he told Sister Lily, that's where you made your mistake. You shouldn't have gone in there. Don't test your Holy Ghost with evil. Don't test your Holy Ghost. The president don't see how close you can get to sin without sinning, but how far away you can stay. Is it not appalling? Is it not derogatory? Your conscience has not been poured by the blood from your dead works. You want to tell me that adultery is a living work?
It's
a dead work of sin. And it's a sign you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's a sign eternal life is not yet there. Brother, don't deceive yourself. Heaven will they go. And before rapture, some of us, this might be your last confession,
Okay.
I preach this message somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
This same message.
You come in,
and I made an altar call. And I handed over to the pastor. And the pastor made an altar call. And we read a quote which I'm going to read.
But
the pastor said, you might be the next one creaking inside a casket down to this altar. And the pastor made an altar call. Making the same comment. Guess who was the next person that was in the coffin at the altar? It was the pastor himself. Think I'm joking. I'm not joking here. Let's move on. The pastor was the next person that was buried in that church, in that same altar.
It's the
pastor that was making the altar call.
It's a double-edged
sword. He caught here. The word of God is without respect of person. Your conscience must be alive. If our heart condemn us, your problem is that your heart is not even condemning you anymore. The prophet said, when we make a mistake, let's go before God. But before we can go before God, we got to go before the person we hurt. Brother Elisha, I am sorry, what I did to you yesterday, I didn't mean to do it. If my heart condemned me, I will go to him. And do you know that if you are really condemned about something, and you thoroughly repent of it, you will not do that thing again. You will not do it again. If your heart condemned you, do you know what's called condemnation? Amen.
Amen.
A sister did something one time, and she had exam. She went to the exam hall in the university. She had biro, she could not write.
She could not write one thing.
All
through the 3 hours of the exam, her heart was condemning her. What's called condemnation? You'll be restless if you are a
Christian.
Immediately after the exam, she called the pastor. He said, sir, I need to make my way right. Someday I am dying. I'm dying. Sister, what's the problem? He said, I don't die, sir. I don't die. Until she cleared that thing.
Her
life was never the same. Some of them run mad. I knew a sister that ran mad. They did all the prayer. Psychiatric hospital. No one walked. Until she confessed her wrong. Immediately she confessed that madness level.
Which
are prayer. Where your iniquity will take you to, you can never imagine. If you hurt your wife, go to her first before you go to God. If you hurt your brother or your pastor or anybody, there is no big man when it comes to this matter. You can even apologize to your children.
But
Abraham apologized to animal.
But
Abraham apologized to bee.
To cow.
What is your pride? They are feeling big.
They
are feeling big.
Hey, me.
Hey, homie.
Hey, me, Nikata.
Okay, let's settle the matter.
Oh, there, can you do it, bye.
If a woju
can
stoop so low
to
commit adultery, then a woju
can
also be able to confess
that
adultery so that a woju
can
be delivered by the wholesome blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, go before the person you hurt.
Now
let's go in now. To show you that Brother Brown was not a tubeless tire. Brother Brown said, I just had to do that. And I know that I did wrong. I lied. An international man of God. He said, I lied. I caused my wife to lie. That's a man that vape pillar of fire. You I never see candle for an head. How much more say that pillar of fire and you cannot confess? I never even see candle for your head. But Brother Bram vape pillar of fire and he confessed. What is your problem? What is your excuse? You are not converted. Your conscience is dead. You don't have a living conscience. I'm the one that caused my wife to lie. I believe I've told you about it here at the church. It was a few days, not long ago.
Ever
6 weeks ago, the attorney had me so tall. Over this investigation. Till I hardly knew where I was at. I just went home from the office to eat dinner. And the private phone rang. And neither went to answer the phone. Put a hand over it and said, is them attorneys again? I said, I couldn't stand another evening. My head feels like it's drawing up. I am losing my mind. Just pulling me this way and that way. And this way. I said, I can't stand it. And I jump up. And I said, tell them I'm not in here. And I ran around behind the house. But Abraham did not sit there. To justify his action, he had to go and go behind the house. After all, I know
they
there. Now I lie. If you want check him, Nana. The prophet, he justified his action. Listen. But Abraham said, when I come back, listen to what the prophet said. He said,
Mida
is very conscientious of those things.
Her
conscience is very strong. Is that not what the quote says?
Very conscientious. Your husband will be doing evil. You go to cover
up.
Your conscience is not alive, sister. When the result will come, na two of you na go carry. And Ananias and Sapphira, not be two of them reaper, not two of them die, then bury them the same day. Amen.
Amen.
Brother say Mida. Very
conscientious.
She's a Christian.
Christianity.
Her conscience is alive.
Brother
say she met me what?
Oluwa,
at the door.
Oh, mi lenu ona.
Half crying.
Oh, what in sokun?
Because Mida's heart was also condemning her.
Okay, Mida, no, Dalebi.
That this thing is wrong.
Bikini Oda.
Amen.
Amen.
She said, Billy.
Only Billy.
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 Was that the right thing
she
to
ye
do?
See?
Was that the right thing
to do?
My mind not settled.
Okay, me obale o.
This matter not settled me for mine.
Okay, me obale rara.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch, Brother Abraham.
Ebon tara Abraham say.
Abraham, you know how you are.
Ah, but you must
know. I know how I am.
Eh, moment mo je.
Everybody know himself now.
Ola
some of you get agidi.
Eh, you agidi.
Amen. Brother Abraham won't use ogboju.
Only if I look ogboju.
Brother Abraham say, I say sure. Sure.
Eh, Benny, Benny.
I wasn't there right there.
No, sin leke.
Brother Abraham said, I knew. God has condemned me. I knew the conscience already bore record. So Brother Abraham, even before Sister Mida spoke, this thing is wrong. So even when he was bragging, he said, I knew. And many times we know, but we use ogboju to cover it. It will come up Sunday. Brother Brown said, when you are dying, he said your subconscious, he said it will catch up with you. All that is hidden within your conscience will come alive. That is why you will be crying to make things right. Things that you have hidden down. Brother Brown said, I knew. Just the way you know. You don't need pastor to tell you. Evangelist don't need to blast. Because I believe, no matter the ministry that's ministering the world, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an apostle, whether it's whoever, there is no way he can preach without condemning sin. And there's no way that a man of God anointed can preach and he will condemn righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where is the quote?
Ayoka Nanda.
I need the quote here.
I need Ayoka Envy.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, I knew.
Only mama.
That God has condemned me for it.
Alone, damn me, let me phone Kanye.
I said, I wasn't in here. Right there.
She said,
she said,
only.
But you were in here when he made the call. We're here. How many times do we deceive ourselves like that? You think you are smart. God is writing it down. The
Bible
says there is a recording angel that's recording everything. And remember the Bible says we shall all appear. One by one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will not go with another brother.
Oh,
you will go alone. Just the way you are lowered alone in the grave. When you are buried and forgotten alone, you will go alone. Everybody must go.
You
better be thinking about it. He said that afternoon. I went to pray for a sick baby. And before I left the house, the phone rang again. And little Joseph ran over and took a hold of the phone and said, Daddy,
Daddy,
you want me to tell them you are not in here? Iniquity done the brood, oh. Iniquity is after generating children. That is how corruption starts. Amen. Brother, you see how sin corrupts? What a family that will be. Family that will cover iniquity for their father. Cover iniquity for their mother. Cover iniquity for their children. Cover iniquity for their church member. Cover iniquity for their pastor. Wicked generation. You
don't have conscience.
Oh, let
your con. Your conscience is dead.
Let your con. Let it cool.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The brother one time was telling me.
Arakunrin kan so fun mi gba kan.
He said one of the things that convinced me to believe the message.
That's
he said I was in a denomination. He said, and then one night I'd had a dream. He said, and I dreamt and I saw that the pulpit there was a hole in it. And when I went there, I saw that it was like a hole of a pit toilet. And there are poo-poo inside. And with a lot of, you know, tissue paper and stuff that they have used. And I said, how can they be poo-poo using pulpit as pit toilet? He said, I did not understand the dream. He said, until one day, God exposed the thing. Not knowing that the person I call my pastor had been living with women, and yet standing on that pulpit, the pulpit was filled with
filth.
He said, I knew it was a time for me to go. You don't know that those things have spiritual implications. But the brother said, the same spirit responsible for physical fornication is responsible for spiritual fornication. Young girls, the world is deceiving you. You watch a lot of movies now. A lot of nonsense on your phones. Uncensored adverts. Uncensored programs. Even the things you don't solicit, they will send it to you. The phone has become one of the most dangerous weapons in the hand of these children. Corrupting your mind. Corrupting your soul. Defiling your heart. Listen to me. There will be no excuse. The message has been provided to make you holy. And for you to be holy and walk in the light, you must separate from every worldly thing. Hallelujah! You must die to these things of the world. All these things that are luring your heart, that are pulling your desire, that are making you worldly, you
want
to look like the actresses of the world. You know all the letters that is going on in Nollywood. You know all that is going on on social media. Until some of them, constantly or unconsciously, they have become your role model. Oh, sister, I'm glad to announce to you that you're on your way to hell. And you need to repent. And turn away from that path of glamour to the way of the cross. Don't listen to that finger pointing you the other way. I need my quote.
Amen.
Amen. You are giving me Bible. I want the quote I was reading. All right. But Abraham says, see how you sin corrupts. What a family that will be. Next. All right. 1 John the 5th chapter, the 25th verse. That's why we took our text. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence in God. But if our heart condemns us, how can we have confidence in God? Brother said, we know as long as we got sin that is not confessed, God, he will never hear us. Brother said, that is strong. He said, but it is what the church needs. If there is sin, God will never hear. He will never come down in this convention. Then I started to pray for this baby. And when I started to lay my hands on it, the Lord rebuked me and said, you told a lie. You ain't fit to pray for that baby.
Oh, yeah.
I turned away from the man. I said, sir, you just wait here. I got something to make right. But Abraham knew what he was to make right.
Not that
will be saying, do you have anything to make right? Anything to make right? Think well, think
well. They know they think well for inside. Your conscience will tell you what you did. You know where you left God.
Remember,
say where you left God, that's where you meet him. If you are a thief, you are not paying your tax, you know. Yes, only.
And
worse than an armed robber.
An
armed robber is robbing human beings. You are robbing Almighty God. You know the
fear?
He did not say, give me 10%. He said, 10% is mine. You take 9% or 90%. Give me 10. Even 90 not reach you. You still want chop God 10. You want to stab the man of God? You can't stab God's servant. And whether you like it or not, Brother Brown said you can never take away God's eternal title.
Amen.
He said that is how God wants his servant to feel.
Yeah.
We must preach this thing. We must tell the people these things. They must pay their tithe.
Amen.
You must pay your
tithe.
Yes. Pay your tithe. 10% is mine, hear the Lord. Let your conscience be alive. You will chop your own, you will chop God's own. God did not say, sorry for me and give me 10. He said, it's my own.
It's
my own.
It's
my own. When you bring the money out, go where? So now pastor, one shop this
pastor,
one.
You are
a wicked man. Pastor, don't one shop this one.
Pastor,
so the time we pastor, they suffer. Where were you?
Pastor,
oh, you think these men, some of them have not slept in places that is unbefitting for human being to sleep? You don't know where we are coming from? They are wearing fine suit now. There was a time when we come for convention, and only one motor go there for outside. We were spiritual. We did not because of that not serve God. We serve the Lord. We worship God. We came to church. We were happy.
I know why do.
How is it now?
Bow,
God is blessing us. We have nine suits.
Car
full everywhere. And it seems as if the way we were happy before, we are not happy like
what
that
again.
What is wrong with us? We must go back to where we fell from. I remember, after convention like this, after the service, brethren, we gather together. If Nagari, we will gather, drink. Yes, Ibadan Grammar School. But today, we have become very stylish. Many of us have become methodical. And we even greet each other now. The brotherly love has grown cold. Because iniquity shall abound. The love we used to have for one another. We did not see each other's faults. We were longing to see one another. Today it is not like that. Everybody has become a class of their own. We are building camps around ourselves. The ministers, repent. Church member, repent. We are building fences. Circles of friends. Class of friends.
Amen.
The love of God is waxing cold.
If you are not rotting to.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No longing to see your brother again.
Ah,
when convention is ending. Convention was always like the start of a new year for us. Today we have become stylish. Psychedelic. We talk with style, I was, if you like, be coming from the moon, it's your headache.
I don't
know the first person to go to moon.
When
you come back from the moon, you will greet us, God bless you here.
So
now Nigeria will day. When you come from moon, we go greet ourselves here. Shalom, Oba, Onio, Tedu, Kode. We go chop pepper together. Don't use your material or social attainment to judge the people of God. You have become classy. The time we were using foot wagon. We love one another. Now that we are using Mercedes Benz, we do like this for each other.
men and brethren, it ought not to be so.
Ara ko ye ko ri be.
Ought not to be so.
O ye ko ri be.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must love your brother.
And
this thing transcends into marriage. And that's why many parents are beginning to try to establish dynasties for their children. A sister come, I saw a brother. Who is his father? Does he have a son name? I need a family with a son name.
Yes.
You know what I mean now?
Huh?
They go, when I need to, you know what I mean. When the family come together, at least one family will affect the other day, we do well. Yes, we don't want to be sincere, but we do. Now, wait, I know you cannot bribe me. I will say it. Parents, some of you are trying to work it out for your children to marry a rich brother's child. Working out to marry that rich brother's daughter. Because you think by the affiliation of marriage, wealth will flow into your family. Nah, lie,
not
be so. This life is not like that. That's our conscience. And yet we claim we believe the message. We believe the message. If the brother is spiritual, let the brother be spiritual and come now. Say, what's his qualification?
And then the start.
What is his qualification? Where is he working? What kind of vehicle is he driving? Many of you that married, not be leg when I say they work out. When you marry on a wife. Some of you were in one room apartment. Now you want a boy with a duplex to come for your daughter. Are you not an
improper?
You want to reap where you did not sow. Evil spirit. Pray for them. Brother Brown said, any marriage that's not based on love is sure to fail. When many of them marry like that, based on your influence, whether by sideways or by right ways, many times they are not happy in their home. And you yourself know that they are not happy, but there's nothing you can do about it. And if your children are not doing well spiritually, no matter how rich you are, you will not be happy. I'm telling you. Love the Lord.
Say, friend,
you want to hear more?
Say, God, see.
All right. Brother Brown said, let's just finish that quote. The prophet said, then I started to pray for this baby. He said, I turned away from the man. I said, sir, just wait here. I've got something to make right. I called up the attorney. And I went down to the office. I called him in. I said, look, sir. I told a lie. Just like Pastor Martin called me now.
Hey, Pastor Martin, come
up by. Brother
Stanley,
I want to see you. I told a lie. I will feel.
You're back on Lara.
Uneasy.
Pastor,
tell me this now.
Pastor,
now. Because pastor wants to clear his conscience. But Abraham was a well-known man of God. A man of reputation. An international minister.
That
was well respected. And he's coming to this lawyer. And he said, I told a lie. You know how you look at your pastors like demigods? How much about the prophet?
Melo,
and he now come and say, I told the lie. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I had my wife to lie.
Mumu,
we are coming back to that quote again. When Brother Brown said, you got to be godly sorry. You got to confess that thing. You have to say it the way it is.
She said I wasn't in there. And I ran out behind the house. He said, and I confessed it. And told him about it. I woke up and put his, hands on my shoulder. He said, Brother
Brown,
I've always had confidence in you. But I got more than ever now. He said, a man that is willing to make right his wrong. I told him, I said, I started to pray for a baby. And the Lord will just condemn me in my heart. Do you still receive condemnation? Even a man of God that enters and comes out of the pillar of fire still feel a condemnation in his heart because his conscience was alive, void of offense. Because I knew I had done wrong. Not because God just said it, I knew. I told him. He said, then the next day, the wife said, where are you going? I said to my kids, Rabbi has cleared it up with his wife, cleared it up with the attorney. It's now time to clear it with God. I went up to my kids, up above Charlestown, where I've been going for years. I got in there and I prayed all the day. Oh God, don't let me do that, do a thing like that again. You forgive me, Lord. For when I started to put my hands on the sick people to pray, then I was condemned. Along about 3 o'clock in the evening, I come out. Abraham prayed till around 3 in the afternoon. For just something that looked like a lie. As far as we are concerned, it looked like a lie. We don't even believe it. It's not a lie now. It just looked like a lie. We can call it a bit of, how do they call it now? Just, you know, diplomacy or something like that. Lie na lie. Some of us, they chop office money. Now, you are a thief, Some of you used to put some office property in your pocket and take home. You are a thief, Brother said, I come out, there was a big rock laying out there. And I got on that rock and was looking up towards the east. My hands were praising the Lord. It was just so quiet in there. And I said, Lord, if you will just one time you pass by Moses. And he said, when you had him in the cleft of the rock, he looked like a bad part of a man. I said, could you do it again, Lord? Let me know I am forgiven. I want my conscience to be clear. And I said, if you will help me, then come on my mind. I said, Lord, I'm not very strong mentally because I have no education. I'm trying to serve you. You know my heart. I oughtn't to have done that. I didn't mean to do that. My head just feel like it was coming off. I was so nervous. And I did it in a catch of a moment when Satan caught me. You see, Brother Brown talking to God. I said, if you forgive me, let me see you then, Lord. God be my judge. Just right over to my side. A little place in the bushes begin to wear like a wind. And he come right along the side of the cave where I was at and went down through the woods. Oh, brother, a peace that passes all understanding swept over me. And I cried. I wept. I shouted. I knew my sins were forgiven me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, when you receive pardon, he said, you don't need the pastor to tell you. You will know. He said, because guilt will leave your heart. Abraham felt justified. The peace of God returned to his heart. He said, I knew my sins have been forgiven me. See? I was disunified with God. I couldn't have deliverance for the baby. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. What a message. What a message. The very next day, there was a man from Chicago. Who is a great man. A Catholic just converted.
The
bars in his house were swelled out like an inflated inner tube. And they have been trying to call them out for a long time. And he wouldn't let them. Finally, he found an interview. That means he came into Brother Brown's place for interview. Brother Brown said, them interviews, we stare around with it till we find out what is wrong. And the man had no more than coming.
Till
the Holy Ghost went back through his life and called out something he had done when he was an altar boy in the Catholic Church.
You
will see, he stole communion.
Father carry give
him. As he carry and go the back there.
Oh, what you
lo? Oh, your stealing.
Oh, Jini.
Now,
by
that thing that he did is what is causing his heart to be inflated. And he has forgotten. He doesn't even know what caused his problem. Some of you, it's your iniquity that's causing your problem. And you will blame the pastor, you will blame the minister, you will blame the message, you will blame God. Brother Brown said, he said, that is the truth. That is the honest truth. He said, do you mean that was against me? See that? He was sure. So God held that thing against me. Yes. The littlest thing that you can never imagine. I said, that is the only shadow that I can see in your life. Went back up. Told the doctor. Said, all right. Get things together now. We will have your pressure. The man has cleared himself. He went back to the hospital. The doctor said, we will check that old ticker again. And when he looked into it, he said, you don't need your pressure. Just by confessing his sin, his healing came automatically. If our heart condemn us, the prophet said, if our heart condemn us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want to be halfway church. We want to be a real church or no church at all. We want to be a real Christian or no Christian at all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 We want total deliverance from our habits, from our sin, from our evil thinking, from our evil doing, from our negligence, whatever we have done, we want total deliverance. So that when people come to this church to be prayed for, there will be just this little group, maybe not over 100 or 2 sitting here, but they will be completely in the hands of God. And when we pray, then God will hear from heaven. God wants somebody that he can hold in his hand. Somebody that he can say, I got confidence in. I can send my 6 servants to the Brown Tabernacle to a battle convention, and that group of people are in one accord. Brother, there's something will happen. Something will happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm rounding up. When David had the privilege of killing Saul, that was in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24. He went into the cave. And his servant said, God has delivered your enemy to
man.
And you know David is a man of war. One strike, Saul will not survive. He said, let me not kill him. Let me just cut part of his garment. As David cut that garment, the Bible says his heart smote
him.
David was condemned.
David didn't need
because David in the book of Psalm 105.
David knew where David 105.
Touch not my
anointing.
Do my prophet no harm. Even touching the garment of Saul alone, he has contravened that scripture and his heart condemned him.
Okay,
I
How many of us do we have conscience? David's heart was restless.
David
said, God forbid that I lay my hand upon the anointed of the Lord. That's a man that has a living conscience. Brother Brown said, he said, our Heavenly Father, in closing, when we see this enticing spirit upon the people, and knowing that they are despising the things of God, I pray God that you will get a hold of every man and woman here today. Let this be a day, Lord, that they will realize that their life doesn't tally up with the world. And they have been listening to the wrong thing, that the devil has been shooting them down with old story magazine, old rotten tummy rot of the world, and old moving picture shows and unclean television. Oh God, such impossible things for a Christian to look at. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God,
Olorun,
he makes us sick. He makes us sick. You said it made you sick. Like vomit. You said a dog goes to his vomit. And a hog goes to his wallow. An old dog will vomit up something. See an old half-born supposed to be hypocritical person. Come to the altar. And like you are going to vomit up the
wall.
Still keeping right on. They come right back and eat the thing again. The same sin you came to the altar to confess last convention. You are coming back again with the same thing. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin and say the grace of God shall abound? God forbid. Everybody Brown is praying a prayer. They come to the altar. Seemingly to vomit the word. And they come back up again. Go back home with the same habits. Hallelujah. Oh God. Cleanse your house, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Send the Holy Ghost with such old time conviction that we clean a man's appetite and clean his soul and clean him up and make him a heaven bound creature. Renew his youth and his vows like the eagle that he might mount up and surpass the things of the world and soar into heaven's yonder, where he can see the troubles coming in the distance. Grant it, Lord. Now look. Don't play with it, brother, sister. Don't just play. Don't trifle with it. Be sure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See? Maybe your conscience has been seared a long time. But something down in your heart is saying, it is me that this preacher is talking to. And I realize right now that I haven't played true to God. I haven't played true, and there's something in me always keeping me down. Amen?
Amen.
While we are waiting, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Are you examining yourself and seeing if everything is cleared out? One day, somewhere in a church, soft organ music will be playing. Screaking over the floor will come a casket. That will be you. Yes, sir.
Benny,
I wonder if your estate you will be in then. You will wish if you could come back. You will say, God, wait. Let me jump up from this casket and kneel at the altar. Because the casket will be close to the altar. And kneel at the altar just a moment. There is a lot of things that I would like to make right. The
prophet
said, it is too late there. It is too late. You can't jump from that casket.
Oh, the boss is
that. And yet, you and that casket, your body is close to the altar. But it is too late. The Bible says, why today is when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why we all stand to our feet? And the piano play for me. Savior, Savior. Hear my humble cry. I wonder today.
If you are the one the Holy Ghost has been talking to, if you are the one the Spirit of God has been ministering to, you know where God is talking to you. You know whether you are right with God or not. You know whether you got a living conscience or a dead conscience. You know whether you got a sin hiding in your life. It is time for you to repent. It is time for you to come to God. It is time for you to cross to the altar. Whether you're a minister, you're a church member, it doesn't matter. It is time for you to make your way right. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Think about it. Think about it. While we talk to the Lord. Examine yourself whether you be in Christ. Don't you know how much the Holy Ghost has been dwelling in you, except you are a reprobate? Are you a reprobate son? Are you a reprobate daughter? The Spirit of the Lord has been speaking to your heart, and yet you have been resisting the Holy Ghost. Don't be like the Pharisees who resist the Holy Ghost. Wicked generation of people. Open your heart to the Lord. Don't wait until it's your deathbed. Don't wait until it's time for you to go home. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this confession without receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't leave this camp without making your sin right. Don't leave this camp without setting yourself up with God. Don't be a tubeless tire. Let your heart be softened before God. Give your heart to the Lord. Receive the Holy Ghost. Get Christ into your heart. Say, you're here, my humble Christ. Oh God, one on others thou art called, holy. Pass me by. The Holy Ghost is waiting. Speaking to someone and say, my son, you ought to be at the altar. My daughter, you ought to be at the altar. What is holding you back? Let nothing hinder. If you feel a tug in your heart to come forward, come forward. Say, Lord, I confess. Say, Lord, from today, I want to be right with God. I don't want anything to hinder. I don't want anything to stand between me and the Savior. I want a true conscience, clear, void of offense. I want the blood to purge my heart from every dead work and unbelief and the things of the world. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This is the hour of salvation. This is the day where the Lord is visiting his people. And he's saying to you, open your heart to me. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't dwell in your iniquity. For I, the Lord, do not take delight in the death of the sinner. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Are you talking to the Lord? I surrender. I want us to sing that song. Oh, do you surrender to the Lord? Oh, I Are you willing to surrender all? I don't mean to make you scared. But one time in a service like this, it was an all-night service. And the gospel was going forth. And an altar call was made. There was a young sister sitting in front, looking steadfastly at the preacher. And after the service, the church was dismissed. And the next call that came was from the parents of that girl. And they said, that little girl is dead. Unknown to her that she was listening to her funeral service. Don't let your case be like that. Don't walk away from here without yielding to the Spirit of God. I'm going to call a man of God to pray for you. But before then, I want you to sing that song again. And I want you to lift up your hands and lift up your heart and lift up your soul to the Lord. Because in this convention, we don't want anything to hinder. We want the power of God to pour down. We want the revival of the Holy Ghost. We want the move of the Spirit. We want the demonstration of the supernatural. And we are going to sing. Because we are the people of God. Open your mouth and sing. I surrender. Whatever has brought you here means business with God. Don't go back to your seat with that habit. Lay it at the altar. Let go and let God. And wherever you are right now, if you want to be remembered in prayer, I want you to lift up your hands.
No, that's okay.
In sincerity and by faith before God,
that
as you surrender, the hand of the Lord will move upon you to deal with your case, to cleanse your heart, to pardon your wrong, to straighten you up, and to visit you in His mighty power. While we have our hands up and our eyes closed, I'll request Brother Dele Adelodun to come forward and pray for us.
Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we want to thank you this morning because the entrance of your word minister life. You said the words that I speak unto you, they are life and they are spirit. I pray that the souls at the altar this hour will be baptized by the life and the spirit of your pure word. May you break the tempter's power. May you take every gloom out of their life. They have responded to the call of the Spirit. And that is the moving of the Spirit. I pray, O God, that they will find peace. They will find healing. They will find deliverance. They will find breakthrough. They will find salvation. They will find a lift above the reproach of this hour.
in the name of Jesus Christ. If the Son of God has set you free, I pronounce you free indeed. May you go in the might and in the power of the spoken word to begin to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. The same power that has called you to repentance, that has called you to a yearning for more of God, may that power satisfy you.
Amen.
May it work upon the atoms of your body to change you from glory unto glory and give you a baptism, an experience more than you have ever had, that today will mark a beginning of from that time. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless the souls that are at the altar. Bless the ones that are the pew.
Amen.
Bless the ones that have risen their hands.
Amen.
I want you, Lord, to move through this audience. Don't pass no one by.
Amen.
May you stop at the post of every hand. May you discern their needs and grant to them, Almighty God, the substance of their requests and their desires.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, bless your people. Settle them. Establish them. Make them happy. Fill them with more of you. In the name of Jesus, the Egyptians, O God, that has preyed upon their life, that has brought them under conditions to terminate their life, spiritually and physically, I pronounce that from today, by the voice of the Spirit you sent through Moses, that those Egyptians, after this meeting, after this service, after this program, they shall see them no more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, bless your people. Give them a song of victory. Give them the song of victors. Grant it to them as we commend it to them. Thank you for your servant you have used. Lord, may you refill him back. May you also watch upon his own life. Give him victory where necessary. Give him blessing where necessary. Equip him more and more. And at other times, make it more glorious, even than it was today. Thank you, Father. The rest of the services are in your hand. May you take control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
May I say a word or two? Then I will call my precious brother to make some announcements.
Why
we dismiss? I've always believed one thing, and I still believe it. I have never had a hard sermon in my life. I think the assembly where we fellowship, they will know that what I want to say now is what I say often. I have never seen a sermon that is hard. Because there is no sermon, no matter how hard it is, that we condemn righteousness. I'm yet to see one. May God help us. Brother Brown talked about revival. He said revival means reviving what you have.
Oni so ji tumo si lati so nkan to wa ninu re yi to
ti mi tele. He was by the seaside.
Oni gba kan wa legbe okun.
And the sea was just.
Pe okun yen sa nru sa.
He said, remember as he's doing so.
Oni ara ti bo se nse yen.
No extra drop of water inside.
Ki se pe omi kan kun.
As he's doing so, every trash inside he bring it
Bo
to the
back. Wa lo nko sa sita.
May God help us.
Ki Olorun ko ran wa lowo.
We are all preparing for that hour when the Lord will ask us to come up.
Gbogbo wa la mura sile fun wakati na to Oluwa yo pe wa soke.
When that day shall come.
Nigba tojo yen ba de.
May none of us.
Ki eni ke ninu wa
be lost.
Ko ma se sonu.
Because
nitori pe
the prophet said even at death.
He
said the believer is not defeated. Because if you look at the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first. We that are alive and remain, that are in Christ, it shall be changed. If a dispensational prophet, a dispensational messenger, the man that God told that the ministry I have given to you is above all the prophets that has ever lived. If he can humble himself to make things right with God, who are you?
Tawani wo.
And who is me?
Tale mi.
I believe God answers prayers. This morning I wake up very early. God sees my heart.
La ro yi mo tete ji Olorun ri okan mi.
I was praying.
Mo gbadura.
I say, Lord.
Oni Oluwa.
This effort that your children have put together
in
making calling for conversion,
let it
not look like a social gathering. Let everybody that comes here hear something that will make them to make their life right with God. I thank the Lord. Let me say one thing too before I stop. If you have a spirit in you that resists correction and rebuke, be careful. Be very, very careful. May God help us. Last night when I was preaching, I quoted a scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the purpose of it. Profitable for doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction. Unto righteousness. So that the man of God. The woman of God. The boy of God. The girl of God. Might be perfect. Thoroughly furnished. Unto all good works. I believe that the Spirit of God that wrote that it is those that God loved that is
chastised.
Even for that inspiration, God called my name
and
say, you have done this.
Go
and make it right. One thing I know is that God will not lie. May God help us. Before we leave the camp, may every one of us, from the platform to the pews, may we be promoted to higher ground.
Amen.
God bless you. And let us just bow our heads. Our Father, we are happy that your grace once again has ministered unto us. Heavenly Father,
We thank you for the blessings. May they be permanent in our lives.
Amen.
Bless your servant that you have used.
Amen.
Replenishing for the virtue that has left him.
Amen.
As we depart from the auditorium, Lord, we pray, may we not be forgetful hearers.
Amen.
May we meditate upon the things that we have heard.
Amen.
Grant it, Father.
Amen.
The rest of the services are in your hands. We pray for more of your blessings.
Amen.
We are your children by your sovereign grace. Lord, we are what we are by your grace. And we are asking, oh God, may we not turn grace to disgrace.
Amen.
May we not live a life of shame.
Amen.
May we not live a life that will cause others
Amen.
To speak foolishly, Lord, and reproachfully against that worthy name
Amen.
By which we are called.
Amen.
As you have described us, may our lives be so.
Amen.
We say we are the light of the world. We say a city that is built on top of a hill cannot be hid. We say we are the salt of the earth. We say men do not light up candle and hide it under the bushel. In our individual homes, in our environments, with our colleagues as businessmen and women, as students, as workers, and whosoever we associate with, may they see your beauty in our lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Thank you, our Father.
You.
Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' most powerful name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's listen to these announcements. Someone left his or her Bible with a jotter and one green pen and a cardigan on one of the seats in the audience maybe congress yesterday. Also, the Bible has about 3 ATM cards inside. And a little amount of money. I don't know whether, as at now, the owner has found it. If not, and you happen to see such, please take to one of the officers. And let's pay it to what we have been told about security yesterday, that your valuables, take them along with you. If you must leave them maybe on the chair, you want to go out quickly, the next person sitting to you that you are sure you know very well, you can identify him or her after, tell the person to keep those things for you till you come
to
back.
To ba fe fi sile to fe sare jade sita en to joko se gbere to ni igbekele nu re to mo dada so fun pe ko ma ba eso titi digbe o ti wa fi pada.
God bless you.
Olorun ko bukun yin.
We also requested that on this parking lot we should leave a driveway across this park when we are parking our vehicles.
Won ni awata n gbe oko sibi a gbodo fi aye sile fun oko lati koja nigba da ba n gba ko wa sibe.
And also take care of our children that they don't roam about those areas, because we learned that some of the students drive very recklessly.
I je ka ki se awon mo wa kan mo ma rin regberegbe toro wa pe awon mo ile iwe yi awon kan nu won ma wa oko ni wa ko wa.
Land they have even come to hit the AC outside. Just driving with speed, you know. They came to hit the AC.
Aha, call
you. No, almost entering the building. May the Lord be our protection. Want to apologize for some people that suffer some water shortage yesterday. I don't know whether it has been fully rectified. We were told that it was that same yesterday that a borehole spoiled. And that made it difficult for the water to be pumped to the places where there were no water. I don't know whether now they have done it. That's why, okay. That's why some people have to go and be fetching water from some
tanks.
Well, it looks as if everywhere we gather with this message, Satan is there himself to make sure that we experience some difficulties. Because no matter the preparation, no matter what you put in place, he will come anyhow. He has a short time to do it.
We'll
leave him here and his children very soon. The Lord bless you. This is Tabernacle Hymn Book. Tabernacle Hymn Book.
Tabernacle Hymn Book.
This is a new one that they have just done. And we know the church that normally do it, Sunset Tabernacle Lagos.
Sunset Tabernacle Lagos.
So this is just a sample for us. The cost of its production is 2,500
naira
for whosoever is interested. But if they have to carry themselves to Ibadan, then there will be a little cost over the cost price. So after the service, I will give it to a sister that will hold it. With the registration canopy at the back there. So that if anybody wants to buy, please make your booking with her. And also the arrangement for the payment. God bless you. It's possible that perhaps the bookings between today and tomorrow, they may send it down for people to have it before we leave the
country.
Also, we have some Yoruba sermon books that we brought to the camp. And we prefer that churches come, not individuals. Yeah, so maybe meet one of the officers and make the booking so that we can, whatever is there. We still have a lot of consignment back in our church at Ologun Eru, but we don't want to use vehicle to carry them here and carry them back if people don't want to collect.
So you
can check what is available and then make your booking. Then when we, if what is here is not enough, then we will make arrangement to bring more. Tomorrow after this type of service tomorrow, there is going to be a little session for students who are aspiring to go to university.
Or those
that want to study masters.
Yeah,
one of the officers of this university where we are using, they have requested that they would like to have an audience with them for about 20-30 minutes.
For a short enlightenment.
So after this type of service tomorrow, the congregation will dismiss. Those who are concerned, they will remain. And they won't take time. If they do, you are free to leave. If they take time, then you are free to leave. Because we want everybody to have time to rest and attend to others in the
ministry.
God bless you richly. Our next service will be 5 p.m. Our next service will be 5 p.m. And we'll be closing by 8 p.m. Immediately after the closing, we'll go for our food because by 9 o'clock, we are expected to have vacated the dining. That's in the evening. That evening only, are particular about we leaving the place on time. Because they have other programs in the compound. God bless you richly. The pastor just told me now that Pastor David Odwell and Pastor Ben Ogo sent greetings to the entire congregation. Yeah, sorry. Breakfast normally is ready by
7:30.
Latest. And the eating time is between that 7:30 and 8:30. So, if you want to eat, please be there on time. By the time they don't see anybody, they believe that everyone have eaten.
So even if there is food, they will carry
it back to the kitchen. Which I believe there used to be food. And we'll find out if they still have food for those who does not, though there is no way to convey it, but just make inquiry. The Lord bless you. Is it the hot sermon that is, if we call it like that? See, what is still stopping you from saying amen to prayer now?
Say, it was totally cap with me. No, Jack, I said,
the Lord bless you. Shall we rise? It is raining all around me. I can feel it in the lottery. Oh, right on, Jesus. Oh, give us more rain. So we can be sweat, so we can be soaked with the latter. Yes, it is raining, it is rain. Oh, all around me. Listen to that, please. I can feel it in the lottery, in the lottery. Here I know Jesus. Oh, give up the glory. So we can be well, so we can be in the lottery.
Oh yes, it is raining all around me. I can feel it in light of rain. Ride on Jesus, give us more rain. So we can be wet, so we can be soaked with a lot of rain.
confident, my heart will go on singing. Bad haunted with joy I carry on. Until the day my heart be over city. Until the day God calls me home. Bad haunted my heart will go on singing. Bad haunted with joy I carry on. Until the day my heart's beyond the city. The day God calls me home. I was drifting, oh, so helpless and alone. But the seeking shepherd found me. He led me to my Father's home. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's a great and mighty Paytor. The song of the redeemed, sing it one more time. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's a great and mighty Paytor.